Good evening, and welcome again to the 1955 Kailua Study Group series. Tonight is Chapter 10, How to Pray. Before we get underway, I thought I'd share with you that when I bought this new microphone, it comes with a headset. I was told that this is the way that everyone is talking now online, on the internet. And the odd thing, to show you how spirit works, no sooner did I bring it home than someone sent me an email from Brazil asking me if I had a headset and I could talk to them. So I tracked down the program, which is called Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, and I installed it, and this afternoon I spent well over an hour talking with this Portuguese man, very nice man, I might add, an infant waste student in Brazil, who has no outside contact with other infant waste students. So we had a rather nice chat and got into some deep subjects. Anyway, I had intended on starting this about 2 hours ago, but got sidetracked in that, but I'm really glad I did. Now, it seems that most of us, some of us, have decided that we need to take a little break. So, after this chapter, Chapter 10, which will be this Wednesday, the 25th, I believe, June 25th, we are going to take a break from then on until sometime in the middle of July, is the way I understand it. Now, I also understand that we will still be sitting down for meditation on Wednesday evening, or Wednesday night for some of us, and I intend on continuing with that. I'm just going to let her ride, and when you all feel that you're ready for more, just give me a holler. You know how to reach me. So let's get going with how to pray. I consider this a very, very important chapter. You know, if I could sum up right now the number one problem, or let's say difficulty, that I encounter over and over and over with all the students that have contacted me throughout the world, the single problem that keeps resurfacing, the inability to move from the letter to the spirit of the Infinite Way message. And since it's vital, only the spirit can give you liberty, this chapter is very important. And because I recognize the need to move from the letter to the spirit of many of the people that contact me online, when I first received this wonderful transcription, I took it down to Myrtle Beach with me and read it. And when I got to this chapter, I knew that for all those that have ears to hear, this chapter is the answer to how do you move from the letter to the spirit. Therefore, when I read this chapter, I knew that I must find a way to bring it to other students' attention. And that's why I got excited and decided to try to open up a little class where we could cover this material with the single intention of arriving at this chapter. So here we are, and I hope you can get from this chapter the necessary instruction that will carry you across that river from the letter to the spirit. I assume that you have become quiet, meditated, and prepared for this, and that you've already read the chapter. So let's see if you noticed what I noticed. On the first page at the bottom, he says, I have said that I would take as many of the students as can follow from the letter of truth to the spirit of truth, to the full consciousness of it, and thereby to its demonstration. So you can see that Joel states right out front the purpose for this Kailua study series is to bring as many students as can follow from the letter of truth to the spirit of truth. And of course, he says it cannot happen by just adding more words to the words of truth that are already in, what do we have now, 35 to 50 books. I want you to know tonight, if you are listening, really listening, you will be introduced to the spirit within you. And I'm not kidding, and that's not poetry. All right. Notice on the next page, 156, he says, as a necessary step, I must ask you to give as many periods a day to specific meditation as you can. These periods need not be more than 3 or 4 minutes each, but there must be many such periods. That, of course, indicates the degree of your desire to attain this. He says specifically down here a little ways, there should be 12, at least 12 such periods. Therefore, when I read that, it said to me, if I want to go from the letter of truth to the actual experience of the spirit, I must practice 3 or 4 minute meditations at least 12 times a day. And I must practice specific meditation exactly the way that it is outlined in this chapter. And if I am not practicing it specifically as it is outlined, and nothing else, and that 12 times a day, 3 or 4 minutes each, then I need to turn to myself and say, well, you don't really want this, do you? I guess you better set it aside for a season. But if I am practicing that in this way, the way that he outlines, then, you know, I'm able to hold my head up and say I'm doing the very best I can, honestly and sincerely. And if that's the case, the experience must come. Now he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is the secret. And if we were to take that passage seriously, we could forget all the rest of the Bible. And he means it. And so, if you are going to follow this Kailua study series, walk in the steps of the students he's trying to bring across from the letter to the spirit, then you can throw everything out for the next 30 days other than the practice which he's about to outline and the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then he goes on to tell us that we must fulfill this one statement, the demands of this one statement. And I wrote, we must do this or else we are lying to ourselves. And the statement is, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, man shall not live by bread, he says. We understand means man shall not live by effect. All of us have been living by effect in one form or another. If you honestly look at your life, if I honestly look at my life, is there not some area where I'm living by effect? Am I not living by my dollar bills, the property I have, my investments? Am I not living by my muscles, my strength, my health? Am I not living by the support I get from my wife, the love of my children? Where am I living by effect? I'm certain that if we look, we'll see. And yet, tonight, he says, we have to live by the spiritual word imparted to us from within. Yes, we in this class have reached a stage of our development where we have got to live by cause. I must live by cause. He told us in earlier chapters that the Word of God is manifest as invisible flesh, which appears to us as in infinite forms and varieties. But we can't live on the infinite forms and varieties. We must live by the Word. And this must be a very real experience to us. And so he says, there must be another added thing. There must be another ingredient of life besides that which we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, and can think about. So you see, everything that you can think of as an effect. So no thoughts about truth are cause, are they? And we are trying to move away from the letter of truth to the Spirit, the Word. We're trying to move away from words and thoughts so that we might receive the Word within. And therefore, we are knowing that any thought we have about truth is not truth. It's not an activity of truth. Something has to take place. A transcendental something has to move into and through our consciousness. And we must be consciously aware of this something. Now, he tells you how to begin. When he says, close your eyes and pray for anything that you want that is not of this world. Because he says, in doing that, you will discover the secret of prayer. Now, as we move into and through this chapter tonight, please don't read this and listen to this with your mind. You are not to look to understand this. You need to look with a different pair of glasses. Look tonight to see what he says to do. It is in the doing that the experience will come. So you can set your understanding aside tonight and look to see what there is to do, and commit yourself to doing it. So, pray for anything you want that is not of this world. As you take that attitude, you will be nearing that of the scripture that says, we know not what we should pray for. We must let the Spirit bear witness with our spirit. Your prayer would surely be listening for that word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I know we've read that before. Perhaps we haven't understood it. We know not what we should pray for. We must let the Spirit bear witness with our spirit. This is an internal experience, which I cannot explain, because it would just give you another explanation that you could understand and yet not experience. So I'm not going to try to explain it. I would rather let you take the next 30 days or so and come to the experience of this. And this is beautiful here, where he talks about musicians and composers. They want to bring forth something, but it must be something that had no existence before. And so, it's true for you. In this new form of prayer, if we've never done it before, you are not going to bring forth anything that's in any of the books that you have ever read. You're going to bring forth the Word, something that had no existence before. And I cannot tell you what that is. You're going to have to experience it. But I can tell you, you are going to learn to turn within for a revelation of something heretofore unknown. That is an indication of us in prayer. Alright, so there's a clue, a hint, something that's telling you when you have that experience, you have found out how to pray. Now he repeats several times, "Now we know not what to pray for." And I wrote in the margin here, "If you are knowing the truth with the mind, it is time to stop all that. Tonight, you must stop that." We know, says Joel, to begin with, that we are seeking grace, the grace of God. And we know we're not going to get it out of the human mind. We must prepare ourselves for the experience of receiving that grace. Now, you don't know what grace is, and I don't know what grace is, because, as he said on the page before this, all that we know about it is it's going to be a revelation of something heretofore unknown, something that had no existence before. Now, we have been told and we have hinted that grace is invisible. It's not visible. It's nothing you can see. Now you must know that grace is nothing you can understand with the mind. So, here's what you know. You are going to pray, to meditate, and have an experience where you receive something that is invisible, unknowable, and heretofore had no existence. Now, if you can define that, well, you can't. I can tell you it must be an inner experience. We do not receive the grace of God in the outer picture. We receive the grace of God in our inmost soul. The preparation for receiving the grace of God are those periods of silence. All right, now here's what we know. We're going to have 12 periods a day for 3 to 4 minutes where we turn within and say we really don't know how to pray. We want the Father's grace. And all that we're going to know about grace is that it's unknowable, something we've never experienced before, something that can't be defined, and something that's invisible. Even though in those 3 or 4 minute periods during the day we seem to be getting nowhere, we seem to be receiving nothing, we seem to be making no progress, Please don't give up on that account, says Joel. And now we come to the most important paragraph in this entire chapter, and maybe in this book, although you might not have noticed the first time you read it. So take this paragraph and do this. Remember, we're not reading to understand. I don't care if you don't understand a bit of this after I read it. If you do this, you will move from the letter to the spirit. And now Joel says, so it is with meditation. And this should be what you do. From the first time that you close your eyes and realize, I'm seeking the grace of God. I'm seeking some word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I know not what to pray for, and so I'm not going to pray for anything of this world. And you see, a minute has already gone by, but that minute has already emptied us of our human thought about prayer. And so for the next 30 seconds, at least, we have nothing to say. That's all there is to that period of meditation. So did you get that, what to do? You sit down and you realize, I'm seeking the grace of God. Something that cannot be understood. Something that's invisible. Something that I've never experienced before. And I don't know how to pray. So for the next half a minute, I'm just going to be silent. God, you speak. And that's it. That's all there is to that period of meditation. That alone, repeated a dozen times a day, would change one's entire life inside of a month. Or at least it would begin to show changes inside of a month, because every time one turned inwardly, in that way, they would be declaring, I can of my own self do nothing, even if they didn't think that statement. Their whole attitude would be, Father, I can of my own self do nothing. Come to my rescue. In other words, they would be acknowledging there must come something from the infinite invisible. That is the true sense of prayer. Now, did you catch that? Here is the instruction. How to move from the letter of truth, which you may know backwards and forwards, to the spirit, the actual experience, the inner experience of the spirit of the living God, the real thing, that presence. How you move from understanding in the mind to a movement in your soul. And, says Joel, if you learn how to do this, you will be living not by effect, but by the cause, by the word. And you can throw everything else away, but this. It is that important. And what is this? This is sitting down 12 times a day at least, and for 3 to 4 minutes, simply saying, I'm seeking grace. I don't know what grace is. It's invisible. It's unknowable by the mind. I can't understand it. And it's something that I've never experienced before. So I don't know how to pray for that. I'm just going to be quiet. I have nothing to say. I'm just going to listen. And then for 30 or 60 seconds, you listen. You know not what you are listening for. And that's it. That's the whole thing. That alone, repeated a dozen times a day, will change one's entire life inside of a month. That's 30 days. I suggest you write today's date in the margin and begin immediately. And then you check in 30 days and see what's happened. If you can honestly say at the end of 30 days, yes, I have repeated this at least a dozen times a day. I have gone within and followed these instructions. If you can say that you have done that at the end of 30 days, well, nobody will have to tell you. You will have stepped from the boat you were traveling in to shore. You will have stepped across the river from the letter to the Spirit, and you will know it. You will know it. It will be an experience you never had before. Now, those periods of silence, says Joel, create an atmosphere. It creates an activity of spirit. Without our knowing it or having any awareness of it, it goes before us to make the crooked places straight. And he agrees, to all human sense, it sounds impossible. It sounds intangible, ephemeral, but it isn't. It isn't. But now you standing on the side of the river, which is the letter, you cannot possibly know what will happen when you step across to the Spirit. And don't think because you read it in a book you understand it. Remember, this is an experience that you cannot understand. It's invisible. And it never had existence before. This is something that you don't know how to pray for. All you can do is turn within and wait. Now, down here on 161, he says, you cannot live on externals alone without disintegrating. You know, I saw a man back when I was 18 or so, 20. I saw him. It was one of my wife's relatives' relatives. We brought him to a Thanksgiving dinner at their house, and he couldn't eat very well. I do not believe he was that old, 65, 70, which is nothing today. And he picked up the spoon or whatever he was eating with, and his hand shook so badly from Parkinson's, he couldn't get it up to his mouth. Now that is what is meant here when it says, you cannot live on externals alone without disintegrating. So that, or something like that, is what we have to look forward to unless we find this word, this thing called grace, unless we have this inner experience and learn how to live by cause. It's that important, folks. It's that important. And so he says you can almost look into the faces of the men and women and see those who have some inner light that they live by. They're not living by effect anymore. They live by cause. And he's given us the method, the formula for prayer, that will work if we work it, and won't if we don't. Now, I could just give you a beautiful lecture tonight on all about what grace is and how it works. But I perceive now that that's a total waste of time. You must come into the experience of grace. Then you can tell me how it works. Now, he says the masses, they can't accept this. They can't accept this. What do you mean? I'm going to base my life on and stand on a foundation that's built out of something I can't see, something that I can't understand, something I've never experienced before? What are you talking about? And yet, I'm telling you, I'm asking you, please, please follow these instructions. And nothing else. I don't care what you've done up to this point. If you're still living in the letter and not in the Spirit, you set all of it aside, just for 30 days. Just for 30 days, set it aside. And see what comes to you as you follow this, what's laid out in this chapter for us. Now, on 162, he explains that you will come into the experience that 1,000 outside this window and 10,000 out here may at the same moment fall, but it does not come nigh the dwelling place of those who make this contact. And that's what we're talking about, is making this contact. Those who achieve the realization of this invisible presence. Now we understand that realization means the actual feel, receiving an impartation of spirit. Because that's what this whole chapter is about, teaching you how to turn within over the next 30 days until you receive this impartation, some sort of impartation that at this moment you can't possibly know. Because again, it has to be something that's never been in existence, in your existence, before now. And down at the bottom, he says that when this inner experience of grace happens, you have received ordination from the Spirit of God within you. The ordination comes from within, when the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit and says, "You are my beloved child." Then we are ordained. And there's no need for any legal ordination or human authorization. That's right. Ordination does not come from Arizona. It comes from within your being. So he says, we have something in the nature of a formula for prayer, which is pray for anything you like as long as it is not of this world. Well, that's kind of limiting, isn't it? He says. Because you can't pray for health, or you can't pray for prosperity, or you can't pray for this, that, or the other. All you can do is follow the instructions he gave you, sit down and turn within and ask for grace, something you cannot understand, something invisible and unknowable with the human mind. Or you can ask for my peace, or my kingdom. Now, also for the next 30 days, you are not to know any statements of truth when you sit down. You're not to sit down and repeat statements of truth or scriptures. Even if they come to your mind, you are to ignore all that. We are here to follow the instructions as they have been laid down. So when he says, pray for anything you like as long as it is not of this world, please understand, this is not just a clever statement. This is the practice. You must begin this practice tonight in all sincerity and practice it for the next 30 days. 3 to 4 minutes each, 12 times a day. And of course he goes into, there is no supply in this world. And he's correct. Supply is the invisible substance, the word, spirit itself, which must be felt. Grace and supply are the same thing. So, if I tell you that supply is invisible, well, supply is invisible. It's spirit. It's the word. You can't understand it. It must be something you've never experienced before. And you cannot think it. You will not know it in your mind. Then how are you going to know supply? You can't. You can only turn within and receive supply as an inner experience. So how do we attain this consciousness of supply? Through every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If, I wrote in the margin here, if we in this class do not succeed in this one exercise of praying aright, we should not try and go even one step more until we do. And that is correct. If you have not stepped from the letter to the spirit, you must put down everything, every book, go no farther with these classes, study nothing else at all, because the answer, your answer, will only come in this inner experience by following this formula he has laid out for us. You must come to where you understand when you say, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," what grace is. Or not when you understand, you must come to the place where you have experienced it, what grace is. Yes, that's the word, know. You must come to the place where you know what this grace is, by experience. You must come to the place where you know what the word is, by experience. Now, says he, there's a 30-second or 60-second of waiting. But if we do not receive it, do not be disturbed. This is only the first day of our exercise, and only the first meditation. We have to keep on 11 more times before we fall asleep tonight, and then we have to do it again tomorrow, and tomorrow's tomorrow, and tomorrow's tomorrow, until in a moment ye think not the bridegroom cometh. The feeling comes, the intuitive sense comes, the awareness comes, consciousness of the presence comes, realization comes, a calm assurance comes. You see, he started by saying, for all those who could follow, he was going to bring as many students as could follow from the letter to the spirit, because he understood that the students were not finding it. Now, he says, that's all that's necessary. So let me go over it again. You're going to have, over the next 30 days, 360 meditations, 12 a day, lasting 3 to 4 minutes, in which you're going to pray for anything you like, so long as it is not of this world. In other words, you're going to pray for anything you like, so long as something that you've never before experienced, something that's invisible, something that cannot be understood in the mind. And then you're going to sit still and wait for 30 to 60 seconds. And that's it. Now, he says, that's why the world and the students have missed the mark. Because they thought if we sat here and talk about God, talk about God's goodness, ask God to bless us, then in some strange way it'll work. And of course it has failed. So from now on, for you, the only prayer that you should have is, "Thy grace is my sufficiency. I live by every word that proceeds from the Father within me. And yet I don't know what that is. I cannot understand it. I've never experienced it. So Father, reveal grace." And then you be still for 30 to seconds. To 60 seconds. So it's pretty simple, isn't it? And yet when I saw this, I knew this was the key. This would bring us across from the letter to the spirit, and I knew it. Now, as you do this for the next 30 days, if you find yourself, he says, standing on a street corner or riding in a car, if you're in the Holy of Holy temples or a garden or walking on the beach. If you are there and you remember every word of God is the substance of your life, then you are in prayer, because you don't know what that word is, are you? So if you remember that and then you pause for those 30 to 60 seconds, you are in prayer. But he says when prayer goes beyond that, it isn't prayer. See, all those statements of truth you've been knowing and rehearsing, none of that was prayer. That's why you haven't had the experience. You've been up there in the mind. This method that he's giving us tonight will bring you into your soul. He'll bring you into your soul. And I wrote, he means this. If there is any thought after that moment, oh yes, that's the other point. If there's any thought after that, it's an activity of the mind. It's not power. Yes, as you wait for those 30 to 60 seconds, if nothing happens, you feel no experience, as he says, number one, don't get discouraged, but number two, don't start thinking thoughts, because now you're back in the mind. Get up. You're done. That meditation is over. Wait till the next one. Now, he says, remember, God's no respecter of persons. And it is true of us, as it was said of old. We're just men, as ye be. What he's saying here is that's how he started. He started in exactly the same way. All right. Again, he says, nothing that you've ever done can prevent this. Though your sins were as scarlet, you shall be white as snow. That means this opening yourself to an awareness of whatever grace is, whatever spirit is, whatever word the word is, this inner experience has nothing to do with anything you've ever done, good or bad. So just toss that out. All that also is a part of the mind. Forget that. Forget everything you've ever learned or ever done. You're going to have an experience that you've never had before. There is a spiritual integrity which has never been touched in us. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to have an inner experience of your own soul. Now, says he, this will lead you to see eventually why the chapter, The New Horizon, emphasizes that the entire human experience is illusory, in that there is no substance to it, no life, no continuity. All right. Forget that right now, because you're just going to start thinking again. And you don't want any of that. You don't want any thinking. Now, let us embark on this work with a specific purpose, motive, and hope. Also with confidence that you are not entirely on your own, because you are united in this work with us. And so we are. We are united. Our class is united. We are all doing this. Once we attain it, he says, even in a measure, it takes over our experience and lives our lives, performs those things that are given us to do, makes the crooked places straight. Now we will learn the meaning of not living by bread alone, but by this inner grace. And I wrote, this is the way you know if you have attained it. All right, if it's a real experience, if over this 30 days you do have that inner experience, you will know it because it will take over your experience, perform those things that are given, make the crooked places straight. You will know that you have found that word, and you are living by cause and not effect. You are to wait. Wait patiently until the time comes when you can say, aha, I've experienced the click. I know what he means. I have at will entered the divine Shekinah, the presence of his glory. I can walk in and out at will, and no man can take it from me because I have attained it. Then you can, first of all, recommend it to others, and secondly, should they desire it, you can teach it and demonstrate it for them and with them. Yes, sometimes in the next 30 days you're going to have that experience. I have at will entered the divine Shekinah, or your soul, spirit. That which is known in silence appears outwardly as demonstration. That which you feel, perceive, or discern of the invisible word made flesh appears outwardly, always. So, he wants you to remember this formula for your prayer. Pray for anything you like, as long as it isn't of this world. And that's the end of chapter 10. But not the end of this talk, because I wanted to read you the same thing in a little bit different setting. This is from Consciousness Unfolding, and it is exactly the same experience, just different words. Sometimes if we hear things in a little different words, it helps. This is the chapter called Peace, and there was only a couple of paragraphs, two or three, I wanted to read to you. Listen carefully. because this is the same thing as turning within and waiting for that grace. Only here he calls it my peace. See, the words are not important. Please understand that. It doesn't matter if you call it spirit, soul, father, Shekinah, peace, my peace, grace, the word. All these things have been symbols in your mind. Throw them out. Pick whichever one you like and stick with that one. And over this next 30 days, turn within in order that you may experience this that you cannot understand, but you can experience. So here he calls it peace. Peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace, the peace of Christ. More healings have been brought about through absolute silence than through all the arguments metaphysicians have thought up in the whole history of the world. You must sit down and get at peace. Think no thoughts. Just sit and wait. Wait. Be patient and wait for the peace of the Christ to descend upon you. In that moment of peace, without a word, you will witness healing. You will witness something, but you don't know what it is at this point. It's beyond the letter, beyond your thought. It is spirit, which you don't know what that means. It is peace, but you don't know what that means. It is grace, but you don't know what that means. It is the word, but you don't know what that is. Here, he says, the only value a treatment, which is rehearsing statements of truth, has is to lift us to a point or place in consciousness where we are ready for spiritual consciousness to unfold. But we in this class, are now in a different position from the one in which we found ourselves when we were functioning with these treatments. We in this class have come to that place in consciousness where we are ready for the next higher step. Even if mental argument, affirmation, and denial were necessary to us in the early days of our work, we can now leave such forms entirely alone. Let us learn to sit down and relax. Whether it is sin, disease, death, unemployment, whether it is serious or not, sit down. Don't try to handle it. Don't work on it. Don't treat it. Sit back and in silence create a vacuum for God, for the Christ to rush in. Sit down and get rid of thought that the human mind is a healer. Christ is the healer. We must stop all such futile efforts. The human mind is not the Christ. For many years, mental efforts have been tried. The words of the Bible are, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. What good, then, is all this thinking we have been doing? The truth of the matter is that the human mind plays no part in this whatsoever. My peace I give unto you, and that peace that passeth your understanding, and that quiet, and that stillness, the peace of God, the power of God is made manifest, and it does the work. Begin now to change your old basis of treatment. If necessary, do it drastically. Do it by forcing yourself to take no thought. I am asking you to come up now into a higher consciousness of the presence of God, a consciousness higher than that which you can attain with your thought, with your human mind. Let us move a step higher into that state of consciousness in which we would be if we were students of Jesus Christ. So, do you see how that's exactly the same? It's exactly the same. Now let me tell you how it was revealed to me, because I knew it. I had it shown to me quite a bit before I was given this wonderful book of the Kailua study series. And I can find the exact date as I look through my journal here. And here it was, 1/27/04, so it was almost 03. It was just barely crossing into 04. In fact, let's see. Yep, the other experience was about a week before, so January of 04, which is now 4 years ago. I wrote this in my journal because I had been working with these principles here, trying to get across from the letter to the spirit. And I often receive things in the form of dreams at night. Because, as Joel suggested, when I lay down to go to sleep at night, the last thing I try to remember is the mind rests, the body rests, but the eye of me continues to function. So speak, Father, thy servant heareth, before I fall off to sleep. And by doing that, a lot of times I get instruction at night, which sometimes comes in the form of a dream. And here was the dream. See if you don't see these principles we've been talking about, these specific principles in this dream. Now, do you remember when you were a child and you had dreams of flying? Well, that's what this was. I was flying. Actually, I was floating. And I pumped my arms to rise up above the rooftops, buildings, treetops, and telephone lines. I was floating gently and looking down. I was grateful that I had risen above the world, the collective human consciousness of good and evil. But then I started to slowly drift down, and I began to pump my arms again to stay up above things, high up. Suddenly, the invisible Christ Spirit wrapped around my arms with its arm, and I felt the tingling and began to rise gently higher. When a voice inside me said, "You don't have to work that hard." And then I woke up in bed. You see that? There's the exact same principle. In other words, this was showing me you're on the right track. You don't have to work that hard. All that knowing the truth, which was like pumping my arms to raise up above the world consciousness, the world mind. You don't have to work that hard. You have to lean back in me and experience grace. You're saved by grace, not by your much thinking, not by your pumping your arms. See, that was showing me so clearly, so definitely, and so I pass it on to you in this chapter 10 of the Kailua study series. To get from the letter to the spirit, you know now, from Christ, that's how it revealed itself to me, you don't have to work that hard. Simply rest back in the Christ and receive this experience called grace. It will come. It really will come. But remember, you are asked tonight to make a commitment for at least, to the best of your ability, aiming for 360 meditations over the next 30 days, 12 a day, if you can make it, 3 to 4 minutes apiece, using no words, bringing no statements of truth in with you, simply sitting down, closing your eyes, and saying, "I am here to experience grace. Something I cannot understand with my mind, something I've never experienced before, something that is invisible." And now, speak, Father. And then you are asked to sit still, think no thoughts, for 30 to 60 seconds. And if nothing happens the third, the 15th, the 25th time, you are to proceed and proceed and proceed, because something will happen in that next 30 days. You are to set everything else aside and make a commitment only for this. It is that important that you attain this inner experience. I cannot tell you what it feels like because it's never been in existence before. Yours is brand new. I can tell you what mine is, but then you'll start comparing and drawing conclusions, and that will be incorrect. That will be going back into the letter. You must have your own. When you have your own, you will have learned what cause is. You will have stepped from ship to shore. You will have stepped across the river from the letter to the spirit. You will have found the source, the word. And now you can fulfill the spiritual demand of not living by bread, but by the word. Not living by effect, but by cause. Now you can say, yes, I am a follower of Christ. I do as Christ does, as Christ instructed. Now you will be able to say, I don't live by anything out there. So what? So what if 5,000, 10,000 fall? 1,000 or 10,000? Who cares? I am living by this inner grace, and I know what grace is. Not because I read it, or Joel told me, or Jesus, or Bill, or Mark, or Pete, or Virginia. I know it because I have had this inner experience. And you will know when people say, grace is this, that, and the other. You'll be able to tell right off, as soon as they start, they haven't experienced it. They only have the words and the concepts. And so you will smile and stay on ready for when they ask you for help. You will be able to help them across this same river. Now, one final note. You need to understand there is no power in opposition. I heard something the other day that was just beautiful. The question was put to me, and I put it to you. What is it that can prevent God government from being on earth? What can prevent that? And I'll give you a minute to think it over. The answer is nothing. There's no power in anything called inertia. No power in anything called a false sense of self. No power in a world mind. No power in thoughts. No power in any of it. The only power is in this inner something that will come to you over the next 30 days. You will find the only power. So, let us practice this now. We have nothing to read, nothing to listen to over the next few weeks. So it's an excellent time to practice this. And let's do nothing but this so that we may come into the experience of grace as my own internal experience. As your own internal experience. As your own internal experience. Okay? Thank you. We are a quarter of the way through this study series. Put this method of prayer into practice over this next 30 days. And we will join one another in the fellowship of the Spirit. Blessings, Godspeed, and most importantly, my peace be upon you. Thank you.